Blog Talk Radio.
Helen, our Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt that wonderful name together. Yes, you and you. Let us today worship and exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly, I am so excited about being together again on another glorious day, and I'm excited about what God is going to share with us in and through this particular lesson on today. And I tell you, man of God, woman of God, child of God, you are in for another glorious treat on today as you open your heart and your mind to receive some fresh manna on today. So why don't you grab your Bible and come on in and make yourself right at home. Truly, I know you're going to be greatly, greatly blessed. I have another wonderful lesson for you and some things that I want to share with your hearts on today. And I know it's going to empower you and you're going to be greatly, greatly blessed. So why don't you get your Bible? And we're going to be looking at the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 1 through verse number 12. We've been talking about some of the things that the Apostle Paul have been doing in the church of Corinth on last week. And now on today, we're going to talk about the birth of the church in Ephesus. We must recognize that God is in control of the results of our ministries, and we only need to continue to sow the seeds in which he has given unto us as the children of God, as men of God, women of God, as we're doing the work of the Lord, and leave the rest, the result of that ministry, of that work, in the hand of the Lord our God. Because many times we touch the lives of the multitude of people sharing the word, either through song, spoken word, taught word, or even the word throughout the liturgical dancing, various forms of way in which God is now using God's people, raising them up to bless them with and through and by the word of God. And so we want to encourage your hearts today that the result is very much left over into the hand of the Lord our God. Now, one of the things the Lord laid in my heart to share, and I wanted to share right off at the beginning here of this particular lesson, because I believe it was so key when he dropped this revelation down in my spirit when we was teaching on this past Sunday. We was teaching in reference to our young people session in regards to remembering thy creator in the days of thy youth. And right in the middle of the lesson, in the presentation of the preaching on that particular day, God gave me a wonderful revelation and illuminated my mind in regards to the days of our youth. Because many times when we look at that scripture, we think purely on young people or younger age group. But God gave me a revelation that was so profound. He was shared with me that at the beginning of your season is like a youthfulness, just like a child, the excitement, the innocency, the eagerness down in our spirits and hearts to forge forward in that which God has given us, carefree in our hearts, carefree in our mind, carefree in our soul. And God began to tell me and began to share with me another point of the revelation of that which he revealed to me was that that is the time in which we must begin to offer a greater praise and a greater worship unto God. Because at that particular time of the season, of the beginning of that thing, or at that point, before it's totally, totally launched, it is a sense of liberty to truly engage God into worship and serving God through worship and praise and prayer unto him. And in the lesson and in the message, he began to share with me a beautiful revelation. And that was that after we get further into the assignment, the purpose, or even the task that he's placed in our hand, or executing that thing that he's called us to execute or move forward in, it takes a lot of more energy to worship and praise God, because at that time you're so engulfed in sometimes the attack from the adversary, sometimes the vicissitudes of life, and sometimes the your own thoughts and mind become mixed up in it as how you're going to birth this out or how it's going to come to pass. And sometimes that can overshadow and overcloud your mind as you're moving forth in ministry. But at the youthfulness of that task or of that assignment or of that revelation or of that rhema, that is our time where we begin to worship God and set our mind and set our day, set our focus in on worshiping God. Because when you engage into spiritual warfare, it's hard to come back to a place of worship when you engage into either warfare or engage into executing or moving to that next level, or mobilizing the vision, or mobilizing and advancing the kingdom of God. You're engaged in the logistical aspect of that assignment. And so as we begin to think in terms of our usefulness and remember our Creator when He given us that revelation, to take that revelation and hide it in our heart. Not only hide it in our heart, but to begin to write it in a place and put it down in a place that you can always refer back to it and things, because when you refer back to it, it's going to bring back that usefulness, the freshness thereof, the innocency of that, the excitement of that, which you have received from the Lord our God. Because we must recognize, look at even Apostle Paul, when God gave him revelation and he knocked him off his vehement beast and allowed the light from heaven to shine down upon him, and even blinded him for that time and things. And therefore, God set the course of his life. And literally, his life was engaged in running from his life while yet, still yet, expounding on the word and sharing the word of God to those whom God has placed as his audience. And such as it is that sometime when you are, before you get the assigned day to go forward in the ministry, you have time to begin to prepare. You have time to plan. You have time to set your thoughts in your mind. You have time to just engage in preparation. And that is the usefulness of that assignment, for us to begin to engage in that and begin to wrap our spirit around all that God has given us as that man or woman of God, the mantle that he laid upon you as being the bearer of the cloth, of being the bearer of the word, being bearer of the broken bread and broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's given you that assignment, and as you're forging forward, things sometimes seem like it begin to get a little murkier, or you're dealing with so many things that's coming in at you. And so at the beginning, begin to set time of worshiping and storing up praise and storing up and cultivating your spirit and cultivating your heart, mind, and soul to begin to develop a spirit of worship and a spirit of praise, so that when you engage in ministry, your spirit is still yet worshiping. Your mind is still yet in the place of praise and things, even though you're executing, even though you are fulfilling the assignment, whether how hard the test may be or up under diverse types of trials or tribulation, you have already cultivated your spirit and your life of that around worship and praise. I hear the scripture said, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Praise, prayer, praise is very, very key when you're engaging in ministry and moving even to a new level. Now, let's take and examine that. When we go to that new level, to that new area of ministry, everything seems as though it's all brand new. It seems as though that you're in a place that you've never been in before. But that is true. That is correct. You are in a place that you may have never been before. But you must recognize that God have already been in that place where he's sending you right there to deliver the word, to share the word. In his mind, he already knows the thoughts that he has for the people when you get to that place of assignment to execute. What you want to be able to do is to have your life cultivated in such a way that when the time to execute, you will be focused, you will move in the unctionizing of the power of the Holy Ghost, and with exactness of speaking that which God has given unto you as the man and the woman of God. Now, I know this took a little change from where we started out, but I just feel the Spirit of the Lord wanted me to encourage and admonish those that are really in ministry, that are engaged in ministry. You must recognize that you are going to be tried by fire. You're going to also have to prove even the ministry that you have been called into, proving yourself and things. That's the scripture. That's the word of God. We must prepare ourselves and settle ourselves down for not just the assignment, but for the long haul, for to endure all the way unto the end. And this is what Paul was dealing with. Paul, he had to come up against so many things that was coming up against Apostle Paul. But Apostle Paul had already made his mind up that he was going to press for the high calling in Christ Jesus. And so when you're pressing for the high calling, that means you're going to have to press in to press into the Holy Ghost. Oh, Shana, press into the Word of God, press into prayer, press into worship, press into focusing in on what God is speaking to your heart right there in the midst of the fiery test and the trial. You have to press into the purpose that God has created you to show forth the praise and worship unto him. Now, oh, Rabba Shukuramania Shanda, you must recognize that it's not going to be without a struggle. And if, because many times people enter into ministry and move into ministry and seeing sometimes the people who are flowing in ministry, how they're flowing in it in such an ease and charisma or the unctionizing of the Holy Ghost and the power of God resting and rooting abide upon them. That may come from great testing and trials that you see that power exuding from that individual. It could come from a place where they have gone up under severe persecution, severe testing and trial, but they're pressing onward and forward into the things of God. And so many times it is at that point where the adversary wants to overthrow the children of God, is when the hard test and the trials and the tribulation come. But we must recognize that's a part of ministry, that's a part of delivery even of the word of God as we're pressing in unto the word of God, pressing into the things of God and watching God perform what he's already declared in and through you, because he is in control of the result of what has just transpired. Say, for instance, a psalmist up singing and they're singing to the glory of God and invoking God for his power and his glory to come down. Now, when we sing to invoke the presence of God through the vehicle of psalms or words being sung unto God, that it would touch the throne. And from the throne room of God, God will release the anointing and God will release and set the captive free through the song that was sung, because he is in control of the result, such as it is with teaching, such as it is with preaching, such as it is with ushering. You can usher in such a manner that your life will be so pleasing unto God, to that as you stand and serve, your service is touching the throne room of God, coming back and allowing the anointing power to fall upon you, and people will see the anointing in the service that you're rendering in the house of God. Oh, child of God, God is calling for us to position ourselves even in prayer as never before, and pray as never before, and calling on that wonderful and that mighty name of Jesus. There is power, wonder working power in the name of Jesus. And that's why even over in the book of Colossians, it tells us whatsoever we do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. Because when we do it up under the authority, when we do it up under the power, when we do it up under the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will see results. We will see transformation. We will see manifestation. We will see demonstration. We will see illumination. We will see even consolation being taken place right in the midst, because we are operating up under the auspices of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, asking God to optionize and quicken our spirit, quicken our mind, quicken our hearts, that whatever is being said, it will go forth and minister into the lives of that individual or those that you are called to speak to, those that you're called to minister. We must, in the usefulness part of our ministry, is to begin to seek out God. This is a time when you have not received a lot of engagement. This is a time when you're in doing a lot of more studying, and studying is an ongoing thing. But this is a time in which we are preparing. We must begin to seek God constantly with our whole heart, mind, and soul, but even more so during the formative time, so that God can formulate the thoughts in our mind, his thought, his will, his plan, his purpose, that he have called you to the kingdom for such a time as this, as you getting clarity. Now, one of the things that I share, and I really believe in this, and I believe that it is so true, that we serve into purpose, as opposed to going looking and seeking purpose. And what I mean by that is that the more we begin to serve in our local assembly, serve our community, serve those one another, the more God is equipping you and preparing you for a greater area of ministry, because guess what? He is seeing that he can entrust you over that which he placed you, whether it's with your own family member, whether it is with your Sunday school class, whether it is with your women's group or men's group, or the assignment that God has given, and maybe being instrumental or being a musician, that you found yourself faithful and pleasing in the eyesight of God. And that's sometimes where we can lose focus. We must remain focused on the fact that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I belong to God. He is my Father. I do to bring the glory and honor unto him. Whatever I say or do is all for his glory and his honor. And once we trust him, once we put our confidence in him, he will be able to perform it because he's looking at our faith and how our faith is and how we are trusting him for the results, because the results are not ours, but it is in the hand of the capable God. What we want is God to be there in our midst as we're moving forward and doing the work in the will of the Lord. And so as I was saying here in this particular lesson on today, it has taken just a totally different, and I believe that somebody needed to hear that, because even Apostle Paul, even though he had gone through shipwreck, he's gone through being bit by the Vietnamese beast, he's gone through let down on the other side of the wall by a basket. Apostle Paul, now he's called into ministry. He's an apostle. And you look at all of these things that are transpiring in his life, and you may be thinking, man, God, you called me into the ministry. I said yes to you, Lord. But now look at what I'm going through. Well, look at what Apostle Paul went through when he was delivering the word. Look at what all he had to go through to get the word forward and get the word out and spread the gospel unto the Gentile. Such as it is, you know, don't think it's strange when you're being tried by these fiery tests and trials and things. You must recognize that God is doing something far greater in and through your life, child of God. And I come to encourage your heart. All of my radio listeners on today, I come to exalt your heart today, to lift up your heads. O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And so when you find yourself in the heat of the battle, just lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up. And that's what God wants you to do, is just to lift up your head. Just look up to the hill from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. God recognized every one of your struggles. He recognized every one of your tests and trials. He knew the days that they was coming. He knew and he heard them plotting and planning against you. He seen all the conspiracy and all of the booby traps that was laid for you, but God, he still recognized that and knows all things. And the God that we serve, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within you. You got to release that power. You got to release the God that is in you and allowing God to work on your behalf and take charge and take over and fight that battle. Rabasha. We had a young man to come and to sing a wonderful song at our church, and he began to say, get out of the way so God can have his way. And sometimes we have to move out of God's way so that God can have his way and that he can do what he needs to do on your behalf. And I come to tell you, God is still yet working it out on your behalf. But what we ask the children of God in the beginning of that thing, in the youthfulness of that thing, what are you going to do? Are you going to be paralyzed by fear? Are you going to allow the adversary to snatch praise off your lips and take your dance off of your feet and take the weaponry of clapping your hands and praising God out of your hand? We as children of God, we must press in harder. And praise even greater and even harder unto the Lord our God, and say, God, we're trusting you in spite of what we feel, in spite of what is going on in and through the line. And I come to tell you, children of God, there are some things that are happening among the people of God, and not only the people of God, but all over the world. And this is a time as never before for us to worship God and to praise God and trust God as never before, because he's doing some great and mighty things in and through and among the people of God. Yes, souls being saved. Souls are being given their life unto the Lord, being baptized in the name, being filled up with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, running on and seeing what the end's going to be. But we as the children of God, we got to buckle down, anchor down, and focus in on the prize, amen. Press forward and press for that prize of a high calling in Christ Jesus, no matter what's going on. And then we must keep on pressing in. Now, yes, Apostle Paul, he was dealing with some things when he was birthing the church out there in Ephesus and all of the things, the Temple of Diana was going on and everything was happening that was taking place during that particular time in the life of Apostle Paul and things. And he also came across the sign where it said that this is known to all of the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and the fear fell on them, and the saint name of the Lord was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deed. And so Apostle Paul, in the midst of all of his trials and tribulation, he kept magnifying the name of the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the more he magnified that name, the more souls was getting saved. And I know a lot of time the adversary wants you to close your mouth about the name, but we got to exalt that name as never before and lift that name up, because there's power in that name. And so we recognize that even during that time that there were some disciples, when we begin to look at our lesson text on today, there were some disciples of John. There was 12 men to whom Paul first he witnessed it to in Ephesus, and they were probably was Jews who had responded to the message of John and the baptism concerning repentance and baptism. And regardless of whether they had been ministered by John personally or by one of his converts, John's message sufficiently convinced them to their need to repent of their sins and be baptized. And John had spoken of that soon advent of the Messiah. So these 12 men were ready to receive what Paul had to say concerning Jesus of Nazareth. God's providence orchestrated their encounter with the Apostle Paul so that he could transform their faith from one of the expectancy to one of experiencing what God had already brought to pass. And see, God had already knew that these young men was going to be saved, and but all he needed was the set time and that individual that was going to be make themselves available unto God to be used by God. And so I come to encourage your hearts today is that God already knows the results, and he already knows what he's going to do in the lives of individuals. What we must do as the children of God, men of God, women of God, is to keep on sowing the seed by magnifying that wonderful name of Jesus. And he said, if I will be lifted up above men, I will draw all above this earth, I will draw all men unto myself. Don't you know God is still yet drawing men, women, boys, and girls in spite of what things look like? He is still yet drawing them back unto himself, because we have a mind to worship him. We have a mind to lift his name up and to give him glory and to give him honor. And so I come in my conclusion on today is to encourage your heart that at the beginning of that thing, the youthfulness of that assignment, the youthfulness of that engagement, remember your Creator, set up your praise and begin to press in and begin to take that season and that time to really to cultivate, to plan, to prepare, because when it's time to execute, you're in another season and you're at another realm of executing the assignment that was given for you, whether it's for the spoken word, the preached word, the prophetic word, or exhorting the body of Christ, or singing through the songs of psalmist and things, or whether it be through the liturgical dance, whatever, or the musician, whatever it is, begin to prepare to go to the next level and watch God begin to open doors and begin to orchestrate and begin to move you to that next level, because you're seeking to go. You're preparing to go. You're preparing and shifting your mind and spirit and positioning your heart and mind for wherever God wants his name to be magnified. You're ready to move in on that assignment. And so that is my lesson for today, is just be prepared to move in on the assignment, then also in the season of the usefulness of that assignment, the beginning of that assignment. That's the time to set off praise and worship, preparation, planning, orchestrating, cultivating that dream, that word, that assignment, that vision that God has given unto you, because the day of execution may be engaged with a day of warfare. And as you learn how to position yourself, that no matter where you find yourself, whether you are executing warfare because you're in an all-out war and the adversary of your soul is fighting and attacking you, you have already set the tone in the youthfulness season of that assignment by engaging it and saturating it with praise and worship unto the Lord our God. I pray that you will be very blessed by this word on today, and that you recognize in that innocency and that freeness and liberty in your spirit, worship, plan, prepare, and watch God at the day of execution to execute his will, to speak that word, to sing that song, to engage in that ministry that God will have already equipped and prepared you, in spite of being launched in a severe spiritual warfare. And so, child of God, be encouraged. I pray these nuggets was able to help you and give you a better understanding of what to do when you have free time on your hand. Begin to prepare, begin to cultivate, begin to worship and pray and call on the mighty name of Jesus, and as you're preparing for that next assignment. And so, as you know, children of God, as I will always say, if you don't have it, God got it, and yet you are just one prayer, yes, one prayer and one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. So until we meet again, child of God, press in. Press into prayer. Press into worship. Press into preparation. Press into planning, press in to that next level, and watch God bless you in a mighty and a special way. And so until we meet again and come back together, enjoy your season of usefulness and watch God bless you in a mighty and a special way. Until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow, and I pray a no sorrow blessing to your household and nation. God bless you. Bye-bye.